The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
2017 is going to be a volatile economic year. We may see politicians throughout the world attempting to control central bank policies. Several renowned financial analysts have warned that political interference in central bank policies may mean our economic misses of inflation and growth targets. Gold is an international currency that can't be issued or controlled by governments. If you don't have the only hard currency that has outlasted every politician and every failed idea of governments for centuries, you need to speak to Goldline right now and learn how easy it is to add gold to your portfolio or IRA. Now is the time to diversify your financial portfolio by adding gold. Call 1-800-913-GOLD. Buying real gold is easy and fast at Goldline. And you're going to be happy that you finally made the call. 1-800-913-4653. Goldline also offers price protection against short-term market fluctuations on qualifying purchases. So buy with confidence. Read Goldline's important risk information and find out if buying gold is right for you. Call Goldline. 1-800-913-4653.
Glenn Beck, The Blaze Radio Network.
David Limbaugh, has there ever been a time when you thought to yourself, this may be the bottom of my career, and was it today?
No.
Well, many moments. Today is not the day, though. Right. No.
How are you?
Great. How are you?
Very good.
Thanks for having me on. Really a privilege.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. I want to delve a little bit into you. First, because you are so well known as a political guy, but that's not what drives you.
Right.
And you've done now, this is your third on Christ, right?
Right.
And you're writing really comprehensive books on the gospel. And I mean, as you read this book, The True Jesus, it's like as if, you read the gospel, you're getting lost, you don't know, you're breaking it all down and explaining what he meant by it, what is happening. You really delve into that. Tell me about you and your journey.
I started out, we grew up in a church. It was a good church. I think the message didn't really catch on with me, and it's probably because I was so scatterbrained and just didn't get engaged for so many years. And then when I was a young adult, I always was a seeker, and I always believed in God, but I didn't believe in the God of the Bible. Didn't disbelieve, I just wasn't engaged enough.
Okay, what is that? What is the God of the Bible that you understood then?
Well, I didn't know if Jesus was, I remember, is Jesus the Son of God? I didn't know if he was just a prophet or a deity.
You believed that he did live?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, okay.
But truthfully, that isn't even a great accomplishment intellectually because I didn't engage. I only believed it because my parents told me. I didn't ever even give it a thought, which is embarrassing and shameful, but I didn't.
But that's the way everybody is.
Yeah.
I mean, on more than just that, I think most of us, I credit my alcohol and drug abuse for waking me up, because I don't know if I would have ever found the truth had I not burned myself down to the ground.
It's so interesting you say that, and I don't think it's cliched. I think people that hit rock bottom have a better chance of meeting Christ because, you know, as they say, there's amazing. No atheists in foxholes.
Right.
When we're down, and if you have a blessed life, and I've had a pretty blessed life, you think you're self-sufficient, you're your own God. I don't mean that blasphemously, I don't mean it literally, but you just think, why do I need one?
Yeah,
right now?
Why would I question my life if it's going well?
Yes.
I don't need anything else. It's going well.
Exactly.
I mean, I've said this and I'm so torn. When I speak at churches, if I ever talk about my conversion and my life at all, I'll say, look, I don't want kids. I am not sending the message, burn yourself down to the ground. But I needed the redemptive power of Christ so much. I mean, David, I stood in the waters of baptism. Pat baptized me. And we wept for how long before you get the words out. Because he knew what this would mean to me, because he knew I was taking it seriously. And I was crying out to him saying, You're promising me. If you don't come through with the peace that you promised, if I do what you tell me to do, you're not real. You're not God.
Right.
And when you really need it like that, oh my gosh, the fullness of it is amazing.
Yes, and that's a great story and great truth. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be open to you. It's open to everyone, and I make that point, not I make it, but I record that point that the Gospels record because it's so important. People dismiss that. But I will say this, that even though I was blessed, continue to be blessed, and we don't wish harm upon ourselves or other people mm-hmm. just so we can find...
Oh, yeah.
But it's not the only way. I also was always curious. Why? How did... You know, the big questions. How did we get here and all that? And you look at the glory of God's original design, and you say, it has to be God that created us, but you don't know what God's nature is. You don't know anything about Him. You don't know about His Son, Jesus Christ.
It's intelligent design.
Intelligent design, I meant to say. So good. And... So I began seeking and reading everything I could find and discovering Christianity's truth claims are backed up by evidence.
Did you read, because like when I first started, I went to school and Pat said to me, you're going to Yale? You're going to find the opposite. And I did. I found all the arguments against God.
Absolutely.
But it was because of those arguments that I actually found Him. You know what I mean? And I'm rock solid. Did you go through the period
Totally. Why would an all-loving God who is all-powerful permit evil in the world? And, of course, now that's a reason. It's a pillar of my faith rather than a reason for skepticism. But it's Lee Strobel's story in his case for Christ. I hate to promote another thing on this show, but he's a friend, and I should. It's a great movie. Oh, it's a moving movie. And he set out to disprove the gospel, and he ended up being slayed by it. That's an awesome story. And it's really what happened to me in a less dramatic way. I didn't set out to disprove it because I really wanted it to be true. I was on the right team. I wanted to be on that team. I just couldn't embrace it until I studied it, and the evidence overwhelmed me.
So was there a pivot in your life? Was there a moment where you felt like, I've got to change?
Yes. Well, intellectually, and I don't mean to say I'm real brilliant, and I mean the intellectual thinking through things and studying kind of intellectual.
Yeah.
Studied books by Paul Little, Know What and Why You Believe, Josh McDowell, Norman Geiser, all the great apologists, and reading the Bible itself. And the real pivotal moment intellectually was when I was exposed to the Messianic prophecies, the unbelievable prophecies that were written in many cases hundreds of years before Christ's birth. And he realized all of them. He fulfilled all those
prophecies.
You talk
about some of them.
Yes, absolutely. And so it was after that that I trusted Christ. But I'm saying intellectually, I had to get over these hurdles to so that I could open up.
Isn't it amazing how so many people dismiss, just look at the prophecies of Israel being restored.
Oh.
At no point in human history has anything like Israel ever happened. Never. Then to add on top of it, that it was all foretold thousands of years ago. It's destruction. It's scattering. It's bringing back together from all corners of the earth. It's reestablishment. I mean, that's incredible in and of itself. And people dismiss it.
It gives you goosebumps. And when God set apart or called Abram at the time, he later named Abraham, go to the land I will show you. I will make a great nation out of you. I will bless all people through you. So he sent Abraham from the land of the Chaldeans, to Canaan. And he formed a nation through Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and David, the line of kings. And he said he would bless all people. And so Christ, you can trace his lineage through David, through Abraham, all the way back. And he will reign forever in the promised land. And he came originally to the promised land, which was guaranteed to Israel as an everlasting possession. And as you say, they were dispersed many times. And after 2,000 years, most nations lose their identity, national identity, after 3, 4, 5 generations. After 2,000 years, the Israelites came back to the people, to that land. And in 1948, it was reestablished, as you know.
We haven't been scattered, and we've almost lost our identity.
Yes, and then those five or six Arab nations around Israel tried to destroy that tiny little nation, and it reared up and kicked their rear ends. Is that not totally exciting? Is that not God at work? And they kept trying to do it, 67, 73, and Israel tried. That's why I know. I was just in Israel 10 days ago, and I came back. First time I've ever been, which is, as you know, a spectacular experience.
How did you write three books on the Bible, and now is the first time you went to Jerusalem and Israel?
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it? I don't know. I rely so heavily on what other people, the other people's studies.
It's totally different. It's a game changer in life.
Yes.
If I could be king and say, we're going to spend money on one thing, it would be, everybody should go to Israel.
Yeah.
It will change your life. Your understanding of the world, your understanding of your place in it, of God, everything, totally changes.
Yes.
Totally changes.
And this idea, see, that Israel ought to give back some of the land that they took after being attacked, the Golan Heights, where they can see Syria, and they can't afford to give that land back because they don't want... They don't want to destroy other nations. Other nations want to destroy them.
Jeffy and I stood at the top of the Golan Heights. You know that cliff?
Yes.
And we stood up there, and everybody's talking about the Golan Heights. They should give the lions back. Until you stand on that land.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, you stand there, and you're like, that's suicide.
Suicide.
You cannot do it. It's suicide.
Plus, Israel tried to give back some of the land and establish a two-state solution, and they reject it. They want to be victims. No offense to any people out there listening, but it's a fact. And I don't understand why we go through this charade.
Nobody even knows that they were given a country at the same time. Palestine was set up when Israel was set up.
Yes.
And they rejected that. And very few people even know that.
Right.
Did you see the... I hate to promote somebody else's stuff, just like David did. But what
don't
the heck?
Mention David the name. Don't mention the name.
Dennis Prager, Prager University.
He's awesome. He is so awesome.
Yeah. What that guy? He just had lunch in town, and he was doing a fundraiser for his university.
Yeah.
And so I went. He didn't know I was going to show up, and we bought a table, and we all went from the office, and I'm sitting there, and the look in his eyes when he walked out, and he was like, Glenn Beck. And I said to him, what you've done, Dennis, I can only dream of doing. I feel like a worm when I look at how he's actually impacting the culture. But he did something on Israel about the two-state solution. Who actually is trying to settle it and who wants to be a victim?
Yes.
And it's brilliant in 3 minutes.
In fact, Dennis Prager is one of the clearest thinkers and communicators. I resent him.
You know what it is? You know what it is, honestly, I think? You spend much time with Jewish people.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Their intellect, because of the way they learn the Torah...
I totally agree.
Is...
How about Ben Shapiro?
Yeah.
My buddy.
I hate him, too. the word Israel means to wrestle with the Lord, and that is in their heritage. They wrestle... And so intellectually, they're just rigorous.
In fact, Ben Shapiro told me that I hope I'm misquoting him, and I apologize, Ben, if I am, that his rigorous training in the Torah and reading it is really what helped him through Harvard Law School, make Harvard Law School easier.
Oh,
of course, he's so smart, it wouldn't have been mattered.
Yeah.
But
I will tell you, I think there's a direct correlation between smart and Torah school.
I think there's a good point. Yeah. Plus, they're disciplined, too.
Yeah.
So disciplined.
Yeah. Wow, that sounded racist, didn't it?
At least it was a compliment.
All right, back with David Limbaugh. His new book is The True Jesus, Uncovering the Divinity of Christ in the Gospel. It is, we were talking yesterday in the hallway about Dominic Crossan. It's kind of the opposite of Dominic Crossan, who, remember, Stu, we had him on one Easter years ago, and we had him on, and... I thought he had a really interesting take at things and yada, yada. And it was right before Easter. And we got to the end of the interview and I said, so do you believe the crucifixion? He's like, oh, no, none of that ever happened. And I remember being on the air like, happy Easter, everybody. I mean, crazy.
Can you explain to me why a guy like John Dominic Crossan, and I've been exposed to him early on, and this isn't a cut, I don't know the guy personally, why does he devote his whole life to undermining something? It's like he's got demons. And I don't know him. I'm just saying, a guy like him, isn't it curious they would devote their whole life to something they don't believe in, to disbelieve it? What, are Christians going around killing people? No. So what's his motivation? Christianity is a positive force for the country. Why didn't he leave it alone?
I don't know. He's one of the theologians for the Catholic Church, though, isn't he? He's involved with part of, you know, that kind of that.
I don't know, but
the believing, non-believing, we believe, but we don't believe in any of it kind of part.
Well,
of
the Catholics I know totally do believe, and they would reject his.
Oh, no, the Catholics I know, too.
Yeah. He's an outright atheist, isn't he? Or am I wrong?
No, I don't think he is. He just doesn't believe in. He doesn't believe in the what he calls magic tricks.
He doesn't believe. You know. He denies the supernatural, and yet, if he believes in God, he has to believe God created everything. And nothing is a bigger miracle than snapping the world into existence, breathing the world in existence.
Right. I mean, this is you don't believe in the supernatural. Well, where did this come from? I mean, where did it start? How did it start? There's something that we don't understand. We call it supernatural because we don't understand it. You go back, 200 years with a flashlight.
Yeah.
They're going to think it's supernatural. Well, that's who we are compared to God. In fact, we're not even that. We're the cavemen.
Yeah.
And it's a searchlight,
right.
For us. The one thing, I went to school, as we told you, and I was looking for the truth. I just want the truth. And so I took the history departments at Yale, the history of what's called early Christology, the making of the image of Christ. Well, that'll make you a non-believer so fast your head will spin. But what it did do was give me a rock-solid understanding of who this guy was as a man. You'd add the theology on top of it, but to know how things worked back then, what the world was like when he was in it, and why the Gospels were sometimes written the way they were, that's kind of what you're doing here, except you don't throw out all the divinity stuff.
Right, right. And, the Gospels do portray Christ as a fully human and fully divine, and we've said that, but it's when you really study them, you see his humanity. He wept over Jerusalem, and he walked among the people, and even when he came back in bodily resurrection form, they touched him. He was real. Mm-hmm. He wasn't some spirit mystical creature.
How did they not know? And I know you address this in the book. Come on.
Yeah.
How did they not know?
Well, I think the Jewish messianic expectation was a military and political conqueror. And that's what the prophecies mostly said. There was also a smattering of prophecies, quite a few prophecies, that about a suffering servant. You can read Isaiah 53 and Psalm 22 and give you goosebumps again about how accurately they portray Christ's crucifixion. But according to Michael Heiser, who's a PhD and a friend of mine through studying this stuff, it was presented in a mosaic and not necessarily directly. So only after looking through the New Testament lenses can we see that the suffering servant was also going to be the Messiah. And it is really Jesus. But they expected the Messiah to be someone who would conquer the Roman oppressors.
Glenn Beck, The Blaze Radio Network.
The internet has become an inseparable part of our society, especially when it comes to our kids. In fact, children typically spend twice as much time online as the parents think they do. I know this is true. Unfortunately, many of our kids will also admit that they have been exposed to disturbing online content. It's important to have an effective safeguard in place that can protect your kids as they grow up in this high-tech environment. Hero Parental Control. Hero is specifically created with you in mind, the parent. Hero safeguards each of your devices, custom filters tailored for individual family members. GPS locators help you keep up with your kids' whereabouts, can alert you when they venture out of bounds. You can also block access to unapproved apps that limit their screen time every day. Hero will give you the peace of mind knowing that your family is sheltered from the worst of the web. Block the bad, choose what's good. Start your free 14-day trial at blazehero.com now.